you can follow after me. But I got a couple of notes I'm going to give you prior to getting started, because we're going to be reading Numbers 16. So much information that I got to almost read the whole chapter. A lot of things went on in Numbers 16. We're going to be talking about the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I don't know if anybody here ever read that chapter yet, but you owe yourself the experience of reading it, because you're going to see rebellion in its fullest stage. If you remember the lesson prior to taking the break during the Prosperity Revival, we talked about Moses and Miriam and Aaron, how they rebelled against Moses. It was almost like a one-on-one type deal, individual rebellion. But in this chapter, we're going to be looking at what we call a corporate rebellion. That's when a whole congregation take a hold of that same spirit that the leader carry. Don't never let yourself be influenced by others strong enough where you come against those that God had put you under leadership, because that spirit will overtake you and overcome you, because that spirit functions on reasoning. Reasoning is when you begin to find a reason for believing something. And you got to catch rebellion before it plants itself in your thought life. Amen. Because it first began with a thought, mm-hmm. an idea. And so we're going to find out that once it starts, it's like an uncontrollable wildfire. Mm-hmm. It'll catch on and burn up anything in its path. So the key to being not rebellious or inheriting that rebellious spirit is to kill it when it becomes a thought. When someone comes to you with the idea of a rebellious or anti-submission spirit, he said, hold that. I'm not receiving that. I'm not going to let it get into the gates of my mind. So look, here's a statement I need you to take a hold of. You might not see it now, but as we read, you're going to see why I'm making this statement here tonight. And the first statement I want to make is, true authority, their response, always yield to God for his defense. True authority in his response to rebellion, I'm talking about, always yield to God for his defense. A person that's in authority never defend his authority, because his authority is based upon God being his authority and he being a delegation of God's authority. And he understands, true authority understands that when it come against me, they're coming against God himself. And once true authority understands that, they need not defend themselves, because they are functioning under God's authority. And whoever comes against God delegated, God becomes their defense. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So, true authority always responds, their response always yields to God for the defense. And here's another point I want to bring out prior to reading the chapter, because you're going to understand what I'm saying as we read. Rebellion always questions authority. That's a true sign of someone in rebellion. And if you're in leadership and you're around people that you come in contact with on a regular basis, watch your questions. Watch what they ask. See, because they'll question some things, and it might be a seed being planted in their heart by the enemy to bring discord, division, and opposition. So they always got a questionable spirit. Why is this? Why is that? And so let that be like Paul said, mark those people. Don't judge them just yet, but just mark those statements, those questions. And just if you're a leader, watch them. Watch them for a while and see what happens, okay? I got one more. God and his delegated authority are inseparable. We're going to understand that in a little bit. God and his delegated authority are inseparable. And here's, I see that was it, but I got another one. Attitudes. Be mindful of attitudes. Because wrong attitudes mostly always reveal a rebellious spirit. Watch attitudes. I think I got one more. I want to, because these statements are going to make the lesson more plain as we begin to go through. I got to find it though. I got it. Listen to this closely now. When, and you're going to see this clearly in the lesson, when rebellion becomes deeply rooted, now understand that word deeply rooted. That's when deeply rooted means when something gets down into your heart, nobody can talk you out of it. That's deeply rooted. It plants itself. When it becomes deeply rooted, it plants itself into your heart and mind. Because these are the people you can't convince otherwise. You ever trying to turn a person around, you know they're going the wrong direction, and you're trying to help them and turn them around? No, they get so deeply planted with the wrong thoughts and the wrong mindset that you can't turn them around. You pray to God to help them. But like Apostle said, these were wilderness experiences that the children of Israel had to experience. So God was testing them and proving them to see what was in their heart. And you'll find out many of them failed the test. Many failed the test. Now let me say this one. I said that was it, but I got one more. And then we're going to get on to our lesson here. Rebellion, see, all these statements going to help us understand. Rebellion become truly dangerous when what you now believe become greater than the truth. You're going to understand that like the old folks, they better by and by. I'm going to say that one more time. See, these notes I'm giving you, a lot of them not in the book. This is through my study. Rebellion becomes truly dangerous when what you now believe, why I say now believe, because somewhere down the line, you were in the truth. Some people in churches, they start off in churches, and my God, you think they're the foundational stones of that church. Because they say, Pastor, I'm with you forever. You ever heard someone say that? I'm with you forever. Where you go, I go. Your people should be my people. Your God is going to be my God. And then 6 months later, they're gone. What happened? I'm fixing to show you right now. And we're going to see what happened. I'm going to read this again. Rebellion become truly dangerous when what you now believe. See, you didn't start off with that believing. Presently believe when you're in rebellion becomes greater than the truth. And you know the truth. You see, the truth is where you started out at, the pastor didn't change. The prophet didn't change. The apostle didn't change. But somewhere down the line, you changed. What changed? Your thoughts changed. Your mind changed. Your understanding changed. Somebody got into your head. Satan planted that seed, and you swallowed it. Not saying you. I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about people that function in that particular area. You with me? All right, now let's get to number 16. This is one of the most important chapters that God had ever allowed us to see and understand. You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about God allowing some of these things to happen for our understanding so we don't go the same way. Let's start that first verse, number 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Issachar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelet, sons of Reuben, took men. Notice what they did. They took men. Because they got some things in their heart. And now I'm trying to put this seed into your heart. They started out with this thing, you see. They failed to believe that Moses wasn't running the operation right. Moses wasn't taking them properly in the right direction. All right? Now let's see what happened here. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Well, see, these were some men that had influence over people. Mm-hmm. Now, you ever notice that when people try to get you to go with their thinking or their understanding, they're gonna grab somebody that you think are legitimate sources that you can base your theory upon. Mm-hmm. I'm making sense? So that's what they did. They got the men that had been around a long time and figured that these men know what they're talking about, so we're going to listen to these men. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
30 verses, and they gathered themselves together. Now, always, when I get to a word against, I know that's a rebellion. I always circle it in my Bible. You do what you want, but I circle it to let me identify rebellion. Sometimes you can't see it, but when I see a word against, I see somebody going against what God said. They got against Moses, and here's a double dose, and against Aaron, and said unto them, you take too much upon you. My goodness. Seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them, wherefore then lift up yourself. You see, that means they thought Moses and Aaron were doing it on their own accord. Above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. I made that statement earlier about authority take no defense of themselves. Mm-hmm. Moses prostrated himself before God because he knew that these men were about to get in trouble. They're coming against God. Moses understood authority. Now, they're coming against somebody bigger than me. Because Moses knew in his heart, Moses remembered his experience on the backside of the mountain when he met God, and God talked to him, and Moses said, Lord, I'm not able to lead these people. So he knew God had to lead him. He knew God had to tell him every step. He knew he wasn't qualified to bring these two to 3,000 people from Egypt into the promise. He knew he wasn't capable. I like the way apostles say that. He knew he wasn't able. So now he knew that Lord, I'm not able to listen to these words here because I'm not qualified to do what I'm doing. I can't take no credit for this. Now that's a dangerous thing. He fell on his face. Fifth verse there. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow. You see, now he didn't even get this on his own. When he fell on his face, this is instructions he got from the Lord. You think he just come up with this good idea about these stencils? No. God directed him. If you fall on your face, you God will direct you. I just threw that up. He spake unto Korah and to his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his, who is holy, and will cause them to come near unto him. Even him whom he had chosen will he call to come near unto him. This dude, you get more instruction from God. Take your censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow, and it shall be that the man who, now notice, I circle man when I was reading it. He didn't say in the committee. You see, because they got a committee coming here. God don't call committees. God don't call groups. God called a person to lead up his work. You never see no group. You ain't no people voting for to see what God want to do. No, God always got a man that he instructed his spirit upon or whoever he decided to use, and then he go with that man, and that man become his spokesman and become God's voice, and he expect those that he put them over to obey, just like they're obeying him. And it shall be the man whom the Lord do chose, he shall be holy. Now listen, now Moses answering back. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. Now notice who was leading this thing. The sons of Levi, they were considered the spiritual one. The sons of Abiram, Dothan and Abiram, they were considered the leading ones because they would come from the sons of Reuben. And they were leaders in the group. And so now you got the spiritual one. The Levites took care of the work of the tabernacle. And you got Reuben and his gang, or his people, that held mostly leadership position. They held ranks in this leadership. And Moses tells to Korah, I pray you, you sons of Levi, seem it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them. Now, what was he saying here? He was saying, you don't understand the privilege you're walking in. Apostle said to him tonight, see, you're privileged to be sitting here tonight. Amen. I understood what he's saying. He said, I'm not talking about me. Yeah. The privilege of sitting upon this anointing, upon what God is doing here. Yeah. So he's saying, you're privileged to be doing what you're doing. Yeah. Operating in the Levitical priesthood. Sometimes, I thought about this when I was reading, sometimes we don't take the seriousness of what God calls us to do. We think we need to be doing something higher, something greater. What are we reaching for? Stay where God puts you. You might learn something. Yes, you might, but they're reaching for more. He said, you think it's a small thing to be working a counselor, if you're a counselor? You think it's a small thing to be a greeter at the door? You think it's a small thing to usher? You think it's a small thing to be the pastor and the first lady, the armor bearers? You think it's a small thing? See, people take those things lightly. And they're looking for greater. They think that's a stepping stone to get where they really want to get. Like they're trying to use God and use a position to get where they really want. But no, I like the way he said that. You think it's a small thing? No, it's not a small thing. I like what the Lord said. And he had brought thee, I'm at the 10th verse, near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. You want to take Moses' place? No, you really want to take my place. You want to take my place and Moses' place? See, they came against Moses and Aaron. You want to take my place and Moses' place? You want the priesthood too? You know, more people think they could lead. They just think they could lead. You put me in a position, and see, more people want the pulpit preaching. And you put me in that position, deal with what you never put them in. They think it's an easy thing. Most people look at the glamour of it all. But it's not the glamour. You don't know the price men and women of God pay to walk in the position that God has placed them. But some people take it lightly and want to do it just because it seems easy, just because they think it's just preaching. Lord, if it was just preaching, it'd be all right. It's more than preaching. You got to tend to God's people. They're contrary people. Like Moses went to some contrary. I call him Pastor Moses. Moses went to some contrary people. He said one time, Lord, kill me, shoot me. God had no gun back then, but he said, kill me. Remember that? He said, kill me, Lord. He was taking all the weight of the people upon himself. And God said, look up among you and find some men. I'm going to take the Spirit on you and put it on them. Don't you? Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had to sit down and talk to him. Say, boy, you're going to kill your crazy self. You can't do all this thing. You handle the great matter. You let the small matters, let them take care of the small matters. You take care of the great stuff. But it was just preaching, it'd be all right. But you have to mess with all those contrary people. And don't talk about the manna. Lord, we tired of this manna. Manna in the morning, manna in the evening. Manna. I'm so sick of this manna. They want meat. We had all this stuff in Egypt. They start to going back in their memory. Lord, we had the garlic. We had all kind of stuff. Just manna. We didn't fry it, dyed it. We didn't bake it. We didn't souffle it. We don't know what. I'm just tired. But I'm trying to say this. They have to deal with the people. Every person different. You different. You different. You want this. You want that. You want that. People, dealing with people is something. You got to be called to deal with people. In your natural sense, they'll drive you crazy. But with the Holy Ghost, apostles say, it's sweatless for me. Because I don't depend on my, I go by my infirmities. You see it? It's so easy to help. You know why I like my position? I just pray and obey. Whoever you say, Apostle, yes, sir, I do that. Whoever, yes, sir, I take care of it. Yes, sir, I take care of it. I ain't got to pray, believe, or nothing. I just pray and obey. Amen. People don't understand. Now, what do you understand? Everybody called to be in no pulpit. Just stay in your position. God bless you right where you are. Right, for somebody. I don't know who it's for, but for somebody. Don't try to take the priesthood and take Moses' position. You don't want Moses' position. You couldn't handle Moses' position. Amen. Amen. And now you go to call Dathan the 12th verse. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come out. You don't want to come up. Moses called for them now. They don't want to come up. 13th verse. Is it a small thing?
I don't know that one.
See, that's why this thing won't talk to me. Why Bible? Apostle says the Bible don't talk; they just read it. And is it a small 13? Is it a small thing that thou hast brought? Who said this? Dathan and Abiram said this. They don't come out, but they brought their complaint now. This is why we call this summit. That was a summit. We call this meeting because it is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey. Now, let me stop right there and put a peg. How in the world he called Egypt a land of milk and honey when they were making bricks without straw? You have to eat when they tell you and sleep when they tell you. Get up, you were a slave. That's not lamb, milk, and honey. How you gonna... Amen. That's how confused they were, you see. See, my goodness, I wish God people can see what bondage is. Open up their eyes. Bondage, they're so comfortable with bondage, they think it's the land of milk and honey. They're so comfortable where they are, they think and they think it's milk and honey. No, it's not milk and honey. It's slavery and bondage. You got a pharaoh over you. You got taskmaster over you. They're taking your children like they want. My ancestors went through some stuff. They took our ancestors. Ain't none of us got the real name. We all got store-bought name. Gotro. How many black Gotro do you know? I can get off into that. Shucks. Slavery brought that. Slavery. That's not free. That's no milk and honey. It's the truth, nothing but the truth will help me, God. Yes, sir. I went to school doing this segregation. Remember these segregation in the early 60s, late 60s? And when they just desegregated us, the blacks sit on one side and the whites sit on the one side. They call go through, they're looking way over there. I see them over here. Get me confused. They ain't my fault. Amen. I didn't mean to get all over that. But this slavery thing. You brought us here to, you took it from a land of milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness. He said, see, to kill them. No, you're killing yourself in the wilderness. Except thou make thyself altogether a priest over us. You see that? Make thyself a priest. Moses wasn't trying to make himself of nothing. 14 verse 10. Moreover, see, they don't want to take no orders, you see. Most people don't want to take orders from nobody. They want to be their own prince, their own ruler. Remember I said early in the beginning of the year? Rules reveal what? Rebellion. You want to find a person rebellious? Give them some rules to follow. You want to follow, if your children rebellious, you give them some rules to follow. We had rules when I was growing up. When it get dark, y'all better be headed back to the house. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You couldn't be out past dark. When the sun come down, you better start heading home. It was an unwritten rule. I'm like, where you going, man? I'm going home. It's getting dark. That's the way it was. Anyway. Look what I was just saying. Give it, look. Moreover, thou hast not brought us to land that flowed with milk and honey, nor are given us inheritance of field and vineyard, but thou put out the eyes of these men, out the eyes of these men, we will not come up. All right, look what Moses said. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect thou not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they, and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censer, thou also, and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and the glory. This way judgment comes. God is judging their rebellion. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. Notice who appeared to. I underline all the congregation. I want you to see something here. See, because this is a corporate rebellion. These three men got the whole congregation involved with it. It's just like somebody in the church. Somebody don't like what's going on in their church, and now they're trying to get everybody stirred up against leadership, against authority, and then woe unto that person. Woe unto them as fire was still falling from heaven. They think judgment has ceased. No, God's still judging rebellion. People don't see it. They wonder why some things ain't working for them. They wonder why nothing happening like it should. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, listen to this. Separate yourself from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And here was authority. See, authority takes no defense for himself. Here is again, and they fell upon their faces and said, oh God, the God of all, the spirit of all flesh, shall, see that? How I know it started with one person? Shall one man sin, and will thou be wrought with all the congregation? They pleading on the behalf of the congregation, because Moses knew, Lord, it wasn't all these people. This thing started with one man here. And Lord, you don't want to judge everybody. Because some of the stuff ain't all the people's heart. Some of it's gone because everybody else gone. So boy, that's the worst thing to do. People going or doing something, saying stuff, they don't know why they're saying it. They're saying because everybody else saying it. They'll have no understanding of what's happening. But they're following the leader because it seemed like a good thing. Don't get caught in the crowd. Don't get too close to rebellious people. You don't know when the ground gonna open up. It don't have to mean a physical opening up, no. Sometimes people think it just got to be a physical. No, ground can open up and you don't know what's happening. And everybody around you fall and you wonder why if you're failing. Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, where I'm at now, separate yourself. They fell on their faces and said, oh God, the God of the Spirit, the 23rd verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, now you heard, this is mercy. God always got mercy. When somebody in rebellion, God always give you a space to get out. God always give you a chance to repent. When the time come, take it. When the door of repentance open, take it. Don't get caught up with the crowd. Put your pride down and say, Pastor, I missed it. Ma'am, I missed it. I got caught up with the crowd. Yes. Let your pride go. If you messed up, say, I messed up. Say, I followed the wrong crowd. Speak unto the congregation. Say unto them, get you from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I mean, when I was growing up, my mom would always say, don't never follow the wrong game. Amen. So you can be blamed for it, even if you ain't me, if you're not a part of it. Right. And I remember that. Mm-hmm. And Moses rose up, and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, mercy, depart, I pray you, from the tent of these wicked men, and touch not, checking my time up, and touch not nothing of theirs. Let's do what? Touch nothing of theirs. Don't touch nothing from rebellious people. Don't take nothing from them. Don't be partakers. I'm just adding this in there because that's what I see. Don't be partakers of their life. Don't get involved with what they're doing. Yeah. You separate yourself from people that are rebellious. Don't do what they do. Don't go where they go. Don't befriend them. Don't be partners with them. See, y'all don't. Some people don't want to hear that. But if you know a person rebellious, don't go to their houses. Don't go eat food with them. Why? Because that seed's gonna be planted in your heart. That's right. They're gonna convince you somewhere down the line. They're gonna say something gonna catch your ear. See, people don't understand. You say stick and stone may break my bone, but something about words, though. I don't know how they go. But my point is that you hang around a creek long enough, you're going to slip in. That's the whole truth. Nothing but truth will help you, God. A word to the wise sufficient. I don't, anybody speak against my apostle, I break partnership with them. Brother, sister, uncle, auntie, grandma. You could be grandma. If grandma says something bad about my leader, grandma, I love you. But don't say that. Mm-hmm. Grandma, you don't understand. Grandma, leave that alone. Mm-hmm. In love, respect them, but let them know. Let them know. Yes, sir. Amen. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah. They had some wisdom here. Korah and Abiram and on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tent. And the wives and their sons and their little children even. See, people don't realize it. But if you don't make no correction, your whole family can be affected. See, yeah, no, that just means, no, your whole family, your little one, your grandchildren. People don't understand that. It's a spirit. Some people, God dog it, some people I've seen leave the church and they think everything fine and they go do their own thing. And if some kind of way, all the children, I read the papers. Oh, this man, his son, got caught up in some burglary thing, and the cops stopped him and put him in jail. Preacher's son, you got in rebellion. They don't know that thing falling your children. Yeah, but this, no, it's falling your children. And that's what this thing here. Because the whole family died. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. See, Moses, I ain't got no understanding for this. If these men die the common death of all men, if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. My goodness. But if the Lord make a new thing, my goodness, something you ain't never seen before, a new thing, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up with all that appear appertaineth to them, and thou go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord, and not me. You're provoking the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the Lord did just what Moses said. The Lord hearkened unto Moses' words. That the ground cleave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth. You never seen that before. And swallowed them up. And their houses. And all the men that appertained to Korah. And all their goods. They and all that appertained to them. Went down alive. My goodness. See that? Unto the pit. And the earth closed upon them. And they perished from among the congregation. See, that's not all. That's not all. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow up us also. Yeah, if you don't change your mind, it sure will swallow you up. You can, let me say this, you can run, but you can't hide. You can't hide from God. People think, see, because they don't say nothing, you could be in your closet. You could be in your bathroom. You speak evil, God hear you. When Miriam sinned, the first thing the Bible said, God heard it. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Yet none of them was right. God judged them all. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron. I thought about this when I got here. Eleazar, one of the sons of Aaron, it should have been Nadab and Abihu, but they messed up in the 10th chapter of Leviticus and trying to offer sacrifices when God didn't tell them to, and he called it strange fire. But they should have been doing this. Eleazar wasn't God's first choice. Nadab and Abihu was doing this. They messed up. They got in rebellion, and they sinned against God by offering strange fire. You can offer, people offer strange fire, I think it's all right. But not Eleazar, the other son, has to do this now. Isn't that, I thought about that. Sometimes you're not God's first choice doing what you do. God tried to use somebody else, but they messed up. Like Nadab and Abihu messed up. Now his brother had to fall on his brother. I saw that when I was reading. I ain't going to finish this. Speak down to Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers of the burning, 42 seconds, of the burning scatter and the fire on, I got to quit, I can't even finish reading. We're going to try and take up right here. Yes, sir. Reason why? Because they got some other important matters that we need to see, because why we teach these lessons? We teach these lessons so we can teach others not to do likewise, yes, and to guard our heart, uphold our leadership, and become eyes for them. Yes, I'm an eye for my apostle. Yes, he can't see everything. I try to see what he can't see. Yes, I walk among the congregation as a spy. Yeah. looking for people that, what you mean? I ain't looking for trouble. But if I see something, he going to know about it.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
All right. Class is ended. Go in peace. Amen. Hallelujah.